This is the Drive Podcast with Josh Graham.
Now you're talking my language.
You can hear the Drive weekday afternoons, 3 till 6 on WSJS.
So we're on a Tuesday Drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where we heard from both Dave Canales and Dan Morgan from the Combine in the last couple of hours. We'll play some of their comments and react to them in just a bit. But first, it's been 3 days, and there are still media talking heads talking about Wake Forest Duke from Saturday and court storming and Kyle Filipowski and all the same stuff. Meanwhile, who is Wake Forest playing tonight?
Notre Dame.
That's right, Notre Steve Dame. Forbes. They play in South Bend, and the Deacs are on serious upset alert against the Irish. The ingredients are all there for Wake to have problems. Most notably, there is a real human nature element to what we're going to see. The Deacs are coming off the win of the season. The best win the program's had in more than a decade, maybe two decades. It was the biggest home crowd ever. They rolled the quad. Wake beat a top 10 Duke team. It's been the talk of college basketball. Now, they're facing Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
At 9 o'clock, on the road. They're facing a team that's currently tied for the second fewest wins in the conference.
Notre Dame.
We saw this with North Carolina after they beat Duke. They lost their next game at home. Wake's been a bad road team this year. Not average, not mediocre, a bad road team. They are 2-7 this year. Here are their two wins, WD. They won in Chestnut Hill at Boston College.
Boston College.
And they beat Damon Stoudemire's Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
I have a weird team.
They've won those two road games. That's it. They've lost to these non-tournament teams. Georgia, Florida State, NC State. Other than the Georgia Tech blowout, they haven't looked impressive in any road game. So why should we expect that following the Duke win to be different all of a sudden? Plus, the Irish, they've been playing sneaky good ball.
Notre Dame.
Steve Forbes mentioned it on our show yesterday. Notre Dame's won 3 of their last 4, including a win over Virginia Tech, who's pretty good, and they beat Louisville at the Yum Center by 20. They have the number 2 defense in the ACC. 4 of Wake Forest's 5 lowest scoring outputs in ACC play have come against the top 4 defensive teams in the conference. They haven't faced Notre Dame yet, but against Virginia twice, against Duke, against the top defensive teams, against Clemson. Or part of me, they haven't played Clemson yet. But against Virginia, against Duke, certainly. Now, you've got Notre Dame that can present some problems for you.
Notre Dame.
It looks like an upset. It smells like an upset. It feels like an upset brewing. 9 o'clock tonight, Wake Forest. Who are they playing one more time?
Notre Dame. Notre Dame.
You can reach out to the show on X at WSJS Radio. You can call us, 336-777-1600. The executive producer of this show is Will Dalton, who looks annoyed with me because we haven't talked about RJ Davis and the Tar Heels yet.
It's live action, Tracy.
How about that?
Patience, WD.
42 of them.
It's only been a few minutes 42. On the show. We'll get there in maybe 5-10 minutes. Let's talk Carolina Panthers right now. The NFL Scouting Combine starts this week. And both Dave Canales and Dan Morgan met with the media earlier today. Here are 3 takeaways from what they had to say, starting with Morgan. Maintaining the defense is a priority. This is not surprising, considering Dan Morgan's background, but among the things he said about the defense, they will explore all options to keep Brian Burns a Panther. That includes the franchise tag that Carolina has another week to try and figure out a long-term contract with Brian Burns before they have to use that franchise tag. The expiration date on tagging a player is March the 5th, if memory serves. They want to extend Derrick Brown. Dan Morgan says they've already had preliminary conversations with Derrick Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, about figuring that out ahead of Derrick Brown's final year on his rookie contract. And Dan Morgan wants to keep Frankie Louvu around. Here was Dan on Louvu.
We have all intentions on re-signing Frankie. We love Frankie. You know, he embodies what a Panther is. He's tough. He's got that dog mentality that we talk about. Nothing's guaranteed in this league, but we are going to try to extend him.
WD, during Dan Morgan's comments, did you see him blink?
He blinked a couple times.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Dan Morgan did blink, put it up on the ESPN scroll, bottom of the screen. Dan Morgan blinked during his press conference today at the NFL Scouting Combine. That's the important information that we have. Let's get to Dave Canales. Dave Canales has developed a plan for Bryce Young. He wouldn't go that far on what that plan is, but this is what he had to say.
I have had a lot more chance to really dive into some film since the last time we've talked, you know, and so I have a specific plan. Can't wait to put that into play. But again, you know, we're not talking about a guy that there's a big fix for, really. You know, you're looking at an accurate player, a really smart player. He's aware of what's happening, and we got to build the whole thing around him, the whole offense around him, of something that we can really say this is our identity and our core.
Exactly what you want to hear Dave Canales say about Bryce Young. Canales was handpicked to elevate Bryce, to get the most out of him. They're not hedging at all. No, Dave Canales understands his success as the Panthers coach is going to be dependent on how Bryce Young is developed. And let's hope, for the Panthers' sake and for Bryce's sake and for Dave Canales' sake, he's right that there is no big fix that needs to be made. Just protect him better. See the jump he takes from year one to year two. He's such an accurate player, as he mentioned there. Dave Canales has developed a plan for Bryce Young. And speaking of protection, Ikem Ekwonu is expected to stay at left tackle for the Panthers. Here's more from Dan Morgan.
Set in a firm pocket so Bryce can step up. I think that's really important to us right now. You know, I think Ikem, the plan is to leave him on the outside at left tackle. I'm excited to see him develop under the new regime, the new offensive line coaches. You know, I'm excited for that potential.
This is the right call because they've invested so much in him. Top 10 pick from just a few years ago. It's too soon to bail on him after just a couple of seasons. As we learned in that decade plus of wilderness we've seen at left tackle since Jordan Gross retired, left tackle is a harder position to solve than quarterback is. There are fewer great left tackles than there are great quarterbacks. And they don't hit the open market. You can't find that on free agency. So if you're going to move off of somebody you've invested a lot in, hey, let's just bump them in the guard. Well, who are you going to put at tackle? Who are you going to find that wants to go play for the Panthers that at a premium position you can plug right in there? Because if that solution was there, I'd be all for it. But we don't know if Ikem can't get there. We don't know that yet. A lot of bad things happened last year. It seemed that there wasn't a great fit with this offensive line and the scheme that they were trying to run. And you had 12 different starting offensive linemen last year. That's not ideal. So it's smart to run it back in year three and not to bump in the guy you took sixth overall to guard just yet. Those are the major takeaways from what Dan Morgan and Dave Canales said in Indianapolis a few hours ago, that they're going to maintaining the defense as a priority and figuring things out with Brian Burns and a long-term deal with Derrick Brown as well and re-signing Frankie Louvu. Dave Canales having a plan for Bryce Young already before offseason programs really have begun for the Panthers. And in protecting Bryce, Ikem Ekwonu is going to stay at left tackle. All right, we've spent enough time without getting to the topic that WD is wanting to talk about.
It's live action, Tracy.
Staring lasers through my head right now. RJ Davis turned in a historic performance last night. A performance that might not have just clinched him being ACC Player of the Year, but might have put his name literally into the Smith Center rafters. That's next on The Drive.
And now, on with the show.
Showtime. Back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
We'll get back to Wake's game at Notre Dame 15 minutes from now when the voice of the Deke, Stan Cotton, joins us, presumably from his hotel room in South Bend. But let's get to last night's action. Or I should say, last night's live action from Smith Center. RJ Davis is a guy who has spent his entire career in somebody else's shadow. Even though, statistically, he was the best player during North Carolina's Final Four run in 2022, Caleb Love got the shine. Caleb Love had the poses. Caleb Love hit the iconic shot to extinguish Coach K in New Orleans. Caleb overshadowed RJ Davis and often took the big shots at the end of the game that we've seen RJ take this season. Armando Bacot.
Armando.
Our guy. A lot of the conversation this year as it relates to recognition and honored jerseys have been, should Bacot be in the Smith Center rafters? Can they change the criteria and mold something new in order to get Armando up there amongst
Armando.
Carolina's greats? Meanwhile, RJ Davis is having a season that, plain and simple, as of last night, should put his name up in the rafters. He's the next Tar Heel to receive a Smith Center banner, which kind of fits, again, what his career has been. Often forgotten about, but the heart and soul of this team. We felt for weeks that he had ACC Player of the Year locked up. Nobody's doubting that anymore. He clinched that sucker last night, and he could be first-team All-American, certainly second-team. Now, for those who don't know, if that were to happen, and it is, those are two criteria to get a banner at the Smith Center. Like, the criteria is first- or second-team All-American, or ACC Player of the Year, or Most Outstanding Player in the Final Four, or gold medal for a U.S. Olympic team. Those are the criteria in place. He's checking at least two of those boxes. We'll see what happens in the NCAA tournament this year. It's been a while since Carolina has had a player's jersey honored. The last one was our friend Joel Berry, who had his jersey go up. Last night is going to be a performance that is remembered. 42 points? Nobody has ever scored more points in a game at the Smith Center than RJ Davis last night. Think about that. Think about all the guys who've worn a jersey and played in the Smith Center since 86 or 87 when that building was built. Nobody has scored more than RJ Davis. No Tar Heel in any game, any place, has scored more points than RJ did in a Tar Heel uniform the last 50 years. Shamon Williams had 42 in 1998, but nobody has scored more than RJ. The last time someone scored 40 at all in a game for North Carolina was over a decade ago when Harrison Barnes did so. And people still talk about what Harrison Barnes did in the tournament against Clemson. But that's still something that's mentioned offhand by Tar Heel fans. Hey, remember when Harrison scored 40 against Clemson? That's how people were going to talk about last night. Remember when RJ dropped 42 on Miami? Here was Hubert Davis on RJ's game after the win.
We needed every bit of his 42 tonight. He was fantastic. I told him after the game that I've seen another number of performances here at Carolina and also in the NBA. Very few have I seen the type of performance that he had tonight. I was really proud of him.
And
his commitment to stay here. I mean, he's, you know, with to be here 4 years, you know, in a time where there's so much change. You know, his commitment to this team, this program, and this community and this university is something that should be celebrated.
Steve Kirshner has been the sports information director, PR guy for Carolina basketball for over 30 years now. And we have a joke in the industry, given how good he is at his job. Kirsch nuggets are often handed out where he finds stats that are kind of cool, like some of the ones that I share with you. 42, the most in the history of the Smith Center. No Tar Heel has scored more in a game since, you know, the early 1970s. This might be my favorite Kirsch nugget. RJ Davis outscored his North Carolina teammates. He scored more points than the rest of Carolina combined. The last guy to do that in a Tar Heel uniform, some guy named Mike Jordan, 1983. RJ Davis's career is worth recognizing and honoring. Without Caleb Love anymore, we've seen RJ get the spotlight in a way that he's deserved for years, but is certainly getting now. Hubert mentioned him staying around, a legit four-year player. That's worth recognizing. RJ was the best player during that Final Four run. The Baylor game certainly is what a lot of people remember, but the Coach K Cameron game that I was courtside for, he was the best player on the floor that night. And there's still another chapter. What's going to happen in March with RJ? RJ had this to say about his career after the game.
It's all glory to God and just of how I just, you know, my career has been going since freshman year to now. Just, you know, just kind of staying down, waiting my turn. And for me to have a performance like that tonight, I mean, just means the world to me. For me, this is, I mean, I feel like I could have had 50, but I missed free throws and whatnot. But I mean, I just felt good. And just the ball felt good. The shots felt good. So, I mean, just everything felt great tonight.
I suppose it's fitting. I got my Final Four hat on from 2022. My buddy Matt, who was at the game last night, texted me, Josh King of Kirkland Graham. Got my Costco gear today. Went to Costco today. Had the baggie of chips with me.
Oh, boy.
Made it work. What a day. What a day. Let's get to some thoughts on last night's game. Ed in Winston-Salem once in. Ed, what was your takeaway from North Carolina holding on against Miami behind R.J. Davis's 42?
Yeah, you covered just about everything I was going to talk about R.J. What I want to talk to.
Oh, I pulled an Eminem B. Rabbit situation from 8 Mile where you're just going to hand the microphone back? That'd be great.
Yeah. Anyway, last night, hats off to Miami and their coaching staff. They had two starters out, Josh.
Yeah.
28 points. And we give up 14 3-points. Ingram and Ryan are 2 from 14. We shoot 57% from the free throw line, and we still win the ball game. So, I mean, I'm happy about that, but I'm disappointed about, you know, what the stats that I just gave you. And in the games coming up here in the future, they're going to definitely have to tighten up, you know, their 3-point shooting and also the free throws. But getting back to RJ last night, he definitely locked up ACC Player of the Year. And in my opinion, right now, unless he falters, he should be first team All American.
And if he's second team, that's still another criteria, again, to put his name in the rafters. I think he's the next Tar Heel that's going to get that distinction. WD is going to be at North Carolina's next game against NC State on Saturday. Let's go to, this is interesting. Let's go to Curtis, who's in Winston-Salem. I've heard a lot of people wanting to talk about Caitlin Clark because of how great she's been this year, but especially the last few days since Saturday where Kyle Filipowski gets hit in a court storm. Caitlin Clark had that as well. What do you have for me, Curtis?
Am I on air?
Oh, you're on air.
Okay. Listen, I know Caitlin Clark. She's a great basketball player.
Yeah.
I love her.
Uh-huh.
But ain't nobody ever going to beat Pete Maravich's record.
Nobody ever.
No, in my eyes, he didn't play but 3 years of varsity. He never got to play an NCAA tournament.
Yeah. No three-point line. That too.
He holds a 44-point average for 3 years. No three-point shots.
That's the key piece. Thank you so much for the call, Curtis. You were on air, and you got the point that needed to be made there. And allowed for me to add this note, that once upon a time, Curtis, and I'm sure you know this, that NC State wanted Pete Maravich. If Pete Maravich wanted to go to NC State, his, I think, dad was an assistant coach, but NC State didn't admit him academically. So his dad then went to LSU, where Pete Maravich then played and broke a record that probably is never going to be broken, to your point there. WD, we've got both the Carolina Hurricanes and the Charlotte Hornets in action tonight. Both teams are in the Midwest, and they're on the road. The Canes. They're in Minnesota. They've lost their last two games a couple nights ago against Buffalo in overtime. 8 o'clock start for the Canes in Minnesota. Also at 8 p.m., the Hornets are in Milwaukee. Charlotte, 5-1 since the deadline. This would demonstrate, WD, I'm still not at the point where I say they're pretty good. Not at that point yet.
But they can get there this week.
If they win tonight,
yep,
I'm there.
Uh-huh.
If you beat Indiana and beat Milwaukee on the road, then that's fine. But right now, 4 of the 5 wins they've got against teams with losing records. Atlanta, Utah, Memphis. Teams that aren't really good at all. Portland without Sharp, Scoot Henderson, or I'm forgetting one. Former Virginia Cavalier Malcolm Brogdon. That would demonstrate that they're pretty good if they can win 8 o'clock tonight at Doc Rivers, Milwaukee Bucks. Live from South Bend. Hey, another team playing in the Midwest. Wake Forest basketball. The voice of the Deeks, Stan Cotton, will join us to add some perspective to this Demon Deacon team and what they're doing. We go out to South Bend next on The Drive.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
By God, that is Stan Cotton's music. The voice of the Deeks joining us from the road. 9 o'clock tip, 9 bells for Wake at Notre Dame. Stan, how thrilled, on the note of Westerns, how thrilled were you to learn WD will watch Blazing Saddles for the first time tonight?
It's, you know, WD, just sit back and soak it all in, big fella. This is an iconic film. And when it gets down to the beans and Mr. Taggart, just get ready. It's good. It's good. I love it. Great choice,
wait,
by the way.
50-year anniversary for Blazing Saddles this year. Stan, before we look at the game tonight, fill in the blank for me. Wake Forest win against Duke was the program's greatest win since?
Steve Forbes was hired. He told us that before the game, that it was probably the deal. And I think the last time that Wake had beaten a top 10 team was Duke a couple years back in a triple overtime game. So, you know, it's a Big Four game. Obviously, Duke, as Bobby Crimmins used to say, Duke is Duke. And it's just, you know, it's a game that Wake needed so badly. They really did. They just, you know, they've stubbed their toe a couple of times on the road. And this was one of those that would make you forget a couple of those road games that Wake was up 10 or 12 and, you know, didn't really reel in like State. NC State was one of those. Pittsburgh was one. And so that certainly helped that. But you still got to figure out, you know, a way to go get it done tonight. But that the win over Duke was certainly a big one. And I think Coach Forbes would agree that it was the biggest since he came to Winston.
You've seen Wake basketball at its best. So how did Saturday's crowd hit you? How did it compare to the crowds that you remembered once upon a time?
You know, it was, you know, really reminded me of a lot of those Skip Prosser years when the tie-dye nation was going strong, and, you know, walked into the arena and all those shirts on the seats really added to the buzz in the building that was already there. And then when the folks started to file in, and obviously the way the game ended and all, you know, the big storm afterward. I know you guys have talked about that a lot, but it was just, I can't remember that much energy, Josh, being in that building since Skip had the Deacs rolling pretty good.
I don't know if Mitch Shaw wants me to give away his ideas for free, but he looked around the Joel before everybody filed in and said, I have an idea. Let's paint the lower level seats tie-dye.
Well, that would take some money that maybe only Mitt has. I don't know about that idea, but you know, it just looked great. It really did. You were in there early, yeah. I know, and saw a lot of that. And it everything about that particular day was pretty good from start to finish. I got there, you know, 3 hours before the game, and was in the parking lot right next to the Coliseum off of Deacon Boulevard there, and I heard this commotion, looked up, and there were all those students. I hadn't really thought about it, you know, that they'd been camping out all night long. And so it started for me there in the parking lot. Then you get into the arena, and even though it's empty, there's still a feeling in the building. And then you see the seats, and then it built from that point on. And obviously it was a really high level game, right? From start to finish, two really good teams, I thought, going at it. And, you know, Wake was able to make some plays down the stretch that Duke made in the game just, you know, week and a half prior at Cameron Indoor. So good day for the Deacs, no question.
Did the security staff protect the radio broadcast?
You know, not 100%. You know, we're in an odd location, as you guys know. You know, you come down the Wake bench, then you wrap around the baseline. We're there on the end line, and that last throw in by Duke, I had no idea who had the ball. I couldn't see them. The crowd was so filled in from my left shoulder all the way across the baseline there. I had no idea. And then obviously it was work just for us to get the postgame show done there in that area with all the fans still on the court while we were doing it. So it was a good kind of a crazy. I know there was a few issues there, obviously, at the end that have been talked over, as we've said, but it was a lot of fun. Certainly a lot of fun.
Voice of the Deacs, Dan Cotton, with us. Steve Forbes was with us yesterday. He says all games kind of scare him. He also thought he should have pulled the Bill Belichick tactic and answer every question by saying,
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
We're on to Notre Dame. He said he's concerned about this game, and I'm concerned about this game. You mentioned the road troubles, and there's the human nature element of this too with 18 to 22-year-olds. How concerned are you about it since you're on the plains, you're at shoot-around, you follow this team?
Yeah, and they look the same this trip as they always do. They always look focused in. Their workout today at Purcell was pretty intense. Now, it really was. And, you know, coach was talking to him after the fact. He says, look, it's going to take 40 minutes. You're not going to knock him out. You know, neither team's going to knock the other out by the first media timeout or the second. You know, it's going to take 40 minutes. And I was listening to the show early, and you were talking about, you know, Notre Dame has won 3 out of 4, and it was a one-possession game, their last game, the loss on the road against Syracuse. And, you know, prior to that, they lost 7 in a row prior to this four-game stretch here. So, you know, they're, you know, really young team, first-year head coach. They're starting to put it together. They play really good defense. They're at home, and you know, Wake has just not been able to get it done away from Winston-Salem. So, you know, it's just, you got to go get it. You know, nobody's going to give it to you, certainly this time of year. So we'll see, but all indications are positive. The Deacs look good, sound good, healthy, all those good things. And, you know, we'll see if that turns out. As my buddy Larry Sorensen would say, Wake is due to play really, really well on the road and take one home.
Put on your Laney Hope meteorologist hat for me very quickly. It's a little rainy here in Winston-Salem, but it's looking like it's about to be 60, 65 degrees. How are things? I hear South Bend, Indiana is lovely in the winter.
Well, you know, I've been here before where you just didn't want to walk outside this time of year, but it's like 72 degrees here.
Hey!
Right now. But they're talking about by the time we get out of here tonight, really high winds with some potential tornadoes in the area. And there's supposed to be snow on the ground tomorrow here. So 72 today, snow tomorrow. I'm just holding my breath that the Deacs can get the job done tonight, get out before the tornadoes come and the snow tomorrow. And when I get to my car tonight at 3 in the morning, it'll be what, 55, 60 degrees, and that'll be good. So we'll see.
Stan Cotton, get a nap before
thanks for the invite. I didn't have a whole lot to do this afternoon, and this killed, 10 minutes? So good for you.
Stan, for you. Well, nine bells. We'll be sure to listen. Thanks so much for spending the time with us from South Bend.
You bet, guys. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
It's one of my favorite times of the week. Weekly positivity time, where we lift morale across the Piedmont by telling people things that are good. And to entice you to share with the Triad, we have concert tickets for you to win. Dan and Shay will be playing Greensboro. Dave Matthews Band will be playing Raleigh. If you'd like to go to either of those shows, give us a call right now, 336-777-1600. All you have to do is give us a call and tell us something good in weekly positivity. Oh, yeah. I'm so tired of playing the games. WD's gonna watch Blazing Saddles for the first time tonight, and that's good. Biscuit King, also good. They sponsor Weekly Positivity. WD, I feel like at times we talk too much about the biscuits at Biscuit King. This is the part where you say, biscuits. But they also have fluffy pancakes, delicious made-to-order omelets, juicy fresh-made burgers, and your favorite sandwiches served with their famous seasoned fries. Four locations in Lexington and High Point. Biscuit King. Where should we start? Let's go to C's, who's in Winston. C's, tell me something good.
That I finally got over COVID.
Man, I was talking to a friend yesterday that just had COVID and was not feeling great. But I'll tell you what, once you get over it, C's,
yeah, it's brutal.
Once you get over it, though, it's such a good feeling. Wouldn't you agree?
I definitely will.
Okay. Well, C's, I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. What's the first thing you did once you started feeling normal? Like, did you work out in a way you weren't able to, or go to a certain place?
I ate some real food finally instead of just soup.
Okay. What's the first real food meal that you had?
Could you hear me, Beth?
Oh, no. What was it? What was your first real food meal?
I had a chicken cheese steak.
Wow. That is big time. With or without? That's what I gotta know. Cheese? Like, are we talking cheese whiz on this cheesesteak? Is that what we're doing? That's C's in Winston-Salem. Let's go to Jennifer, who on my screen it says Winston with a U in it for some reason. I assume that means Winston. Is that right, WD?
Yes, I'm typing a lot over here. I misspelled it.
Sorry about that. Jennifer in Winston joins us. Jennifer, tell me something good.
So my husband and I, in 2024, we had decided that we were going to do something this year to help the homeless. We have a lot of homeless in our area.
Yeah.
So with the rain today, we went out and we bought some new ponchos and went around our area and handed out some ponchos.
That is very good. Thank you so much for doing that. What gave you that idea? What gave you such a heart for the homeless?
Well, the area that we live in, you know, when we drive around, like within a 5-mile radius of where we live, we see so many, and it just makes me so sad every day. And you have to appreciate what you have and to be able to help out other people.
That is very good. And for that, I think you and yours deserve some concert tickets. So I hope you enjoy that.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. That makes me feel very good. WD, tell me something good with you.
So as we know, I'm a caffeine addict.
Yeah.
I like coffee.
You do.
And, you know, when I come to work here, I like to get coffee usually at some point or twice during the day.
Sure.
And not to knock anybody or anything, but we've got a K-cup machine in our break area there. And I'm just not a big fan of the breakfast blend coffee pods that they have. They just don't do it for me.
So you're taking shots during weekly positivity?
I'm afraid that was a slight jab. Don't mean to, but it just doesn't...
Where's the good part?
I'm getting to it. Those K-cups don't quite do it for me. So, you went to Costco earlier today, and I went to Costco on Sunday, and I needed to get a bag of coffee for the house. But I also saw these cold brew, a 12-pack of cold brew coffee they had there. And I thought, you know what? I could get that, and instead of having K-cups that just don't quite give me the punch that I want, I can just have these. I got one right here, right there. Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
That's the punch. There it is. There it is. Yeah.
That's the punch.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to Stuart, who's in Greensboro. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Josh. I hope you're having a good afternoon.
I hope you are too. Tell me something good.
Something good happened last night at the Smith Center. RJ Davis scored more points than anyone else in the history of that building. And that was good.
That, I would say, he played good.
He was very good.
That's outstanding. We'll get to the Tar Heels in just a bit. Thank you so much, Stuart, for allowing me to include that tease a bit. Oh, Willow the dog got a haircut.
I know, I saw. She's very floofy.
Has a bow in her hair. She's so flippin' soft. And that's good.
Wow.
The part that's funny to me, I don't know if this should be funny, but it is. They cut her bottom too, like the hair off her bottom.
Oh.
So it makes it easy to, you know, pick up what you need to pick up at points.
Yes.
But Willow is not used to that at all. So she gets home and then she just starts dragging her butt, her new butt, on the ground at my house. Like everywhere.
She doesn't know what to do with her butt.
That's it. Because she's like, my butt feels exposed right now because someone just cut the hair off my butt.
New butt.
New butt. Let's go to Jason, who's in High Point. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
Let me think about that. I'm doing good.
Wow.
Tell me something good with you.
First time caller since I moved down here. Been listening to your show constantly.
Can I guess where the accent comes from?
By all means.
New York?
Yep, Long Island.
Let's go. Let's go. Welcome. Welcome, Jason. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Thank you. And my good deed that I've been doing is donating plasma.
There you go. That's it. See, you're contributing to your community already, Jason.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Share and call and say I do appreciate listening to you guys. It makes my car rides home very much relaxing and more enjoyable.
And
good. That means a lot more than you know. Thank you, Jason, in High Point. And that's been Weekly Positivity.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Our buddy Darren Vaught is now with us. Voice of ACC Baseball, etc. Good time to be subscribed to that podcast. Voice of USA Baseball, ECU Basketball, High Point Basketball, a professor at UNC, the lottery boy, does so much, Darren does. And you can include Greensboro Swarm basketball tomorrow, which means in honor of that, we have a pair of tickets to give away to Swarm basketball tomorrow. So if you go, you can say hi to Darren. Be like, hi, Darren. I've got an unusual question to ask you in person. You could do that at the Fieldhouse. Jordan Sorenkamp going to be our guest on tomorrow's show from the Swarm. Darren, this is a completely usual question, given all that I just outlined here. Do you ever say no to anything?
It's a fair question. Thankfully, I'm at a point now where I get offered to do stuff that it's kind of hard to say no to, right? Like, I've never called NBA G League games before. Why would I say no to that? I guess there are some things I say no to, but most of the time it's a good offer. So
you are Jim Carrey in Yes Man. That's you. You are saying yes to everything. You're learning Jumper. It's you on the guitar. Congratulations. How about in the spirit of that, let's give people the tickets to the games. We also have tickets to the games this weekend too, right?
We do.
Okay.
We
so do. If you can't make it tomorrow night, you can go watch the Swarm this weekend at the Fieldhouse. All you have to do is call in and ask us a sports question. Usually it's more fun when it's not a sports question. It's an ask us anything type of segment. 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Unusual questions time.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Graham.
And if you're wondering what constitutes an unusual question, 336-777-1600, I'll give you an example. Last night, I watched Seven for the first time in a year or so. What's in the box? The whole deal.
Is that your unusual question?
No. The question is this. That is a very dark movie, but I love that movie. So this is right up Darren Vaught's alley. Like, I'm just throwing you meatballs.
Oh, I don't even know the exact question, but I'm the chamber's full. I know that.
What is the darkest movie that you love the most to rewatch? Because to give you a second to think for your answer, Seven might be the answer for me, just because the last 30 to 40 minutes, the moment that Spacey arrives, it's just, let's go from there on out. What's in the box? And Brad Pitt and the conversation in the car. The only other movie I think could be in the conversation against it is Silence of the Lambs. Like, rewatching those movies, I rewatch them all the time, just because Buffalo Bill is a fun person to impersonate.
Was she a big old fat person?
Yeah, she was a big girl, sir.
That's a pretty good buff. Yeah, it's pretty good.
That was WD's favorite character too.
Was she a big old fat person?
Yeah, she was. She was a big girl. What's your answer?
I've got such a hard time narrowing this down, but I'll give you some, like, the big board. All right, I got like four, I think, in my brain. Ed Norton stars in two of them, actually.
American History X is one of these?
No. I'm a little off the board. I'm a little off the board with these. Have you ever seen Death to Smoochie?
Yes.
With him and Robin Williams?
Very dark. I had that. Incredible. I think my parents bought that because I loved Barney as a kid, and they thought it was like a fun movie. Like, it was a VHS at my house growing up. Something else I've found fun to do lately, by the way, is just refer to the 90s as the late 1900s. That always puts a smile on my face. It was the late 1900s, and we had Death to Smoochie on the VHS tape.
Death to Smoochie's one of them, mainly because it's like children's TV special characters mm-hmm. who are involved in like back alley stabbings and mobster type stuff.
Yeah.
The other one that Ed Norton is in is called Leaves of Grass. It's named after the Walt Whitman collection of poems, right? He plays a pair of twins, which, you know me, I'm a twin advocate. I love it.
Yeah.
So they are like diametrically different people. One moves away from home and gets his PhD and is like a philosophy professor at Alabama. The other one stays home and runs like an underground marijuana dealing business.
I'm surprised you're going this deep cut. I thought it was going to be Eternal Sunshine and Manchester by the Sea and Let's Call It a Day, because I know how much you loved Manchester by the Sea.
But those aren't as dark, though. Like
Manchester by the Sea is as bummer as it gets. That's pretty bummer.
Dark and bummer are different. You know what I mean? I'm making the distinction.
Okay, that's fair. Let's go.
Those are the two Ed Nortons. I got one more.
Okay, what's the last one?
Because this is my wheelhouse. Observe and Report. Oh. This Seth Rogen movie that is basically a Paul Blart Mall Cop parody.
I took my family to that on Christmas. Not a good idea. Almost as fun as taking them to Uncut Gems. I did it to them twice. Not great on my part. Let's go to Aaron in Greensboro. Aaron, what's your unusual question?
Okay, I got this one for you, Josh.
Please.
What is the most awkward or strangest interview that you've ever done?
Thank you so much. I think I might have brought this one up before, where Dave Clawson just was a lot of things happening.
Yeah.
A lot of things going on, and he, I think, was walking into the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, and they had a bowl game in Memphis. Or no, it was Birmingham, pardon me. And they were playing Memphis. And he just said, after like 3 or 4 minutes of talking, he's like, I think I got to go, bye. Just hung up.
Dan Bonner did that to us one time on the DG show.
Oh, one time I forgot that Dan Bonner was booked on the show, and we had someone else, and Dan Bonner called, and Robert Walsh didn't know who Dan Bonner was. And he was saying to me, Josh, there's some guy named Dan Bonner. Dan Bonner saying he's supposed to be on the show right now. Some guy named Dan. I'm like,
It's a good impersonation.
And what's great about that is just this is the miracle of divine intervention. The guests we were supposed to have that segment flaked. That happens maybe like once a month, maybe every other month. The time that Dan Bonner called, our guest flaked. And we're like, oh, yeah, I know we just promoted this other guy, but Dan Bonner, hey, what's up? Hey, Dan.
Dan's here in a pinch.
But Robert Walsh, I wish that was something I could have discussed with Dan. I don't know. Dan's the best, by the way. I love Dan Bonner.
Yeah.
But Robert Walsh didn't know who Dan Bonner was, so he felt that some guy was pretending to be a guest on the show at this time. There you go. What is your unusual question, Darren?
I thought about this traveling to and fro. I was in Jacksonville over the weekend to cover the Jacksonville College Baseball Classic for D1 Baseball. It was streamed exclusively on D1. Had a lot of fun with Kyle Peterson doing those games. And on my way back, I flew Southwest.
Mm.
On my way back, packed flight. I'm in group C number 50 or whatever. I'm like, okay.
Middle seat?
So I'm in the middle seat.
All right.
Put yourself in my shoes. You're in the middle seat.
All right.
You get both armrests, right?
Is that the question?
Right?
I don't think so. I think you get no armrests. Probably.
I am entitled. Here's my thinking. Is I am entitled to both armrests if I'm in the middle seat. You window guy, you got the window. You've got an armrest right there next to the window where you can maybe even like lay your head if he gets snoozy. Aisle guy's got his own, and he's got the leg room. It's only fair that the middle seat gets both armrests. And if I was on either side, I would be happy to give the middle seat both of those armrests.
See, this seems so rehearsed, or Darren's just the greatest broadcaster ever, that I feel like he's had this conversation with strangers on a plane. He's like, actually, I get both these armrests because...
Nope. Had never done it in my life, and you know I fly a lot. It occurred to me yesterday.
I think you're right. I think you persuaded me. I think you're right on this. I think you are. WD,
you better believe I'm going to prepare. I'm going to start having a PowerPoint and like just pull up an iPad and flip through it for the people on either side of me.
WD doesn't have enough movies in his catalog to have a take on the darkest movie. He's flown.
Is Halloween dark?
No. You've flown 5 times your entire life, so I don't think you have enough perspective for that opinion either. So I'm just going to put the ball in your court now and have you ask your unusual question.
So I saw today that apparently they're doing a remake of American Psycho.
That would qualify as being a dark movie, by the way.
This is
you know what? God, that's in the conversation. We got to put it on the big board now for me. That's yep. That's
do you like up there. Do you like Huey Lewis in the news?
Hey, Paul.
So anyway, the question is, what is your favorite remake of a movie, or are you just one of these people that are so adamantly opposed to remaking things?
Sure.
Sequels, remakes. Like this, we're remaking the movie.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I interject quickly?
Sure.
The book that movie was based on by Bret Easton Ellis, by the way, totally different. I mean, it's the same story, but it's a different experience because like it's so much more elaborate, his like quirks and stuff. Totally recommend. Like if you enjoy the movie, read the book, American Psycho.
Get all the live action remakes out of here. All of those, they can beat it. The sports ones, Bad News Bears, Longest Yard, they can beat it too. I think the answer to the question for me probably is A Star Is Born, just because I think I really like that movie with Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and I think it's better than Streisand and Chris Christopherson, even though that was a remake of an older movie. It was the third time it was remade.
Right.
Or the second time it was remade. I appreciated that movie. And you saw me sing karaoke, a song from that movie with somebody's wife because the husband requested it.
Wife at his request.
Any remakes come to mind?
Man, I don't have any that come to mind. Everything's like twisted around or sort of like revamped into a limited series now. Like I liked High Fidelity with Zoe Kravitz.
But the original was movie. The original was so good. Let's get to one more caller. Let's go to Beth in Greensboro. Beth, what's your unusual question?
Hi, Josh.
Hi there.
How are you guys? AWD. Hello, Darren.
Hi.
So my unusual hi. My unusual question, I'm an OG, Darren. I'm from the very beginning, and I don't know this. So the unusual question is, what was the unusual question that you asked Roy Williams, Josh?
Oh, this is good.
Okay, that's an excellent unusual question. So it was COVID. It was 3 years ago. It might even be this week, like the anniversary 3 weeks ago that this happened. And during COVID, it was weird, the COVID season. You could play a certain amount of games, and sometimes a game would get canceled because a team had COVID. They couldn't play in the next week. So you quickly would try to schedule somebody. And North Carolina scheduled a Marquette team that wasn't going to make the tournament. Steve Wojciechowski was still coaching the team. And I just didn't see the value in it. Like, why did you schedule this team that's not going to help your resume at all? And if you lose, could actually hurt you. And so the question was asked, like, hey, what? Knowing now that you guys have lost this game, I think the way I put it was, now that you guys have lost this game, what do you say to those who suggest that you shouldn't play this game? And because of Zoom, you like put yourself on mute and it's not like a back and forth, like you're in the room. And if someone misunderstands, you can't clarify. Roy took it as me asking, if you knew you were going to lose, the considering the result piece, would you have scheduled the game? Which, of course, was not what I was asking. He's like, he went on to say, like, man, if I thought we were going to win, I'd schedule the damn Lakers. I would have scheduled he went on a rant, and he stormed out. And then I get an angry call. Remember we were talking about Kirsch Nuggets and Steve Kirshner, who's the best over there? Got an angry call from him. It's like, what were you doing? I'm like, oh, well, that wasn't what I was asking. He's like, oh, you were asking that. Got it. So then the next press conference, they play Syracuse. And I don't even think they win the game. I think they lose the game. And I'm on another Zoom press conference, and he's sitting in the Carrier Dome. And I'm just sitting there. Like, not asking any questions. I didn't want to get in the way again. And the press conference before it ends, like, Roy goes, I don't even know if Josh is in here. Josh, you in here? Like, they just lost the game. I'm like, so, well, people think I'm mad at Josh. I'm not mad at Josh. Just always an unusual question. And that's okay. That was the gist of it.
I love that it has lasted long enough as the bit of unusual questions that there are people who... obviously like her listen regularly.
Shout out Beth.
Who don't know. That's incredible.
Darren, you're incredible. Thanks for being here. Watch. Hey, where can people watch you tomorrow night? Swarm Basketball.
ESPN Plus. They got the Delaware Blue Coats. a lot of familiar faces from college basketball in the area past.
Do that. Swarm tomorrow night at the Fieldhouse. We'll chat with Jordan Cernkamp on tomorrow's show, ACC Baseball, etc. Great time to subscribe to that pod and see what's going on in the ACC. Spoiler alert, quite a bit. Darren, we'll talk to you next week.
Cool. Sounds good. See you guys.